Hello listeners, welcome to the brand new episode of Robotics. We have with us today Mr. Aditya Narang, co-founder and chief business officer at Invito, a company at the forefront of vision picking solutions. Aditya Narang has a strong foundation in computer science engineering and brings a wealth of experience and expertise in the diverse fields of hardware engineering. Welcome to our podcast, Aditya.
Happy to be here, Satish.
So Aditya, you're a software engineer by trade, and we usually see that it is mechanical engineers or electrical engineers or civil engineers who get into software. But in your case, a software engineer went into hardware.
Yeah.
So could you share with our listeners how did this happen?
Yeah. So I was working at Sensara Technologies, another Bangalore-based startup, which was into TV and media space. And we were building accessories to enhance the TV viewing experience. And we had built a TV guides, which you could load on a mobile and figure out what's playing in which channel.
Okay.
And then switch your channel with your TV.
Okay.
But what we heard from users is we need a way to switch the channel right from the remote. And that's when we started our hardware journey on how do we build these accessories for a mobile phone that can let you switch a channel with the TV without having to reach for your TV or set-up box remote. And with that journey, we built 5 different products over 5 years, worked with the likes of Xiaomi, Airtel, Panasonic, everybody. And sold over 500,000 pieces of our hardware. And that's how I got initiated into the hardware world, so to speak.
Okay, that's an interesting journey.
Yeah.
And from then hardware to vision picking.
Yeah.
And Movito. How did that happen?
So it was with 2020 when I met Guru. Again.
So this was the time of COVID.
Yes. It was the time of COVID. And there was an article, one of the leading publications went about what Guru was doing. Guru had studied, worked in the US, come back to India. So he was building navigation software for AMRs. And I read the article and I just out of the blue reached out to him. We started chatting over a few months. I felt I shouldn't be a part of that. And that's how we got together and we started Movito. So that was how it happened. And once I was a part of Movito, we started visiting multiple warehouses in all of the different segments. It could be like grocery, it could be fashion, it could be jewelry. We visited over 20 different warehouses of every kind. And what we realized is picking was very repetitive in every kind of warehouse. Main actions, one was walking around the warehouse and one was actually reaching to the item and grabbing it from the shelf. But what we also realized at the same time is picking is still nascent. Yes, there have been a few companies like Ovariant and Right-Hand Robotics who have started to work very seriously on picking. But considering AI itself was not very, very forward as a technology, we believe it was still early days for picking in general. And that's how we got into vision-based picking. We saw that opportunity.
So very courageous of you to reach out to someone after reading about there in the newspaper. Not everyone does it, but there. You definitely require a very different type of courage and a bit of audacity to start your own company.
Yeah. You know, I'm mildly surprised at how well it all worked out.
Yeah. But it's great that it all worked out. So coming back to the warehouse, very rightly said that in warehouse, there are a lot of repetitive jobs. There are dirty, dangerous jobs which you need to automate.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies, including Apple, which is doing automation.
Yes.
Now, there have already been picking robots, if I could say.
But yeah.
There has been an articulated robot which does heavy pallet loading.
Yeah.
It's also used in welding. Then there is picking robot like a SCADA robot, which does a pick-and-place operation.
Yes.
So, if you would share with our listeners, how does vision change these picking operations? And where do you come into the picture?
Yes. So, manufacturing industry has been using robotic arms for a very long time now.
Yeah, especially automobile.
Yes, exactly. So if you look at Maruti's assembly line, we have a whole bunch of robots.
Yeah.
But most of it so far has been programs who work on exact points of point A to point B kind of actions. And there was no intelligence built into it. It was just being used as a hardware tool, which would just move from one point to another, did a small run, came back to the same point for. So they were not perceiving the world around it.
Okay.
They were doing anything more than that. And if you look back how the general world around us is structured, it's not really structured at all. You'll have items sooner on your shelf or your wardrobe. Or if you look at a warehouse, things are not neatly stacked all the time.
Yeah.
Look at a bin, there's a heap of items. It's never neatly kept one after another.
And then you have more than 10,000, 20,000 SKUs in e-commerce or grocery.
Yeah, there's actually tons of more than that. It's weird. So the world is not structured. And the way that a robot can always handle it is just you're ready to be kind of moving. And what you need is a limit of intelligence where it could perceive the world out of it and then have a vision and manipulation stack that will help you pick the item. And in picking itself, you have to look at what am I doing in terms of what are the kind of items I'm picking. Then you have where am I picking it from and what am I using to pick it with. So it could be like, am I picking from a bin? Am I picking from a shelf? am I picking from a carton? Am I picking from a pallet? Mm-hmm. All of these use cases. Then add on to it, am I picking fruits and vegetables, or am I picking cosmetics, or am I picking jewelry? Is the object round? Is it square? Is it you boy? And then what's the clipper that has to go with it? Is it a suction-based clipper? Is it a proofing clipper? Now, if you take the sum total of all of these use cases, you cannot solve them one by one.
So what do you mean you cannot solve them one by one?
So what I mean is your base architecture of a solution like this has to be able to scale to these use cases over time, and you cannot redo them one after another after another.
So your architecture should be such that as the data set increases, it should not increase in size. It should be still able to give you the throughput that you want.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It should not require us to redo everything from scratch.
Yeah,
for each of these reasons. So our quest has been to build that layer of intelligence where we know what we need to pick, what is the best way to pick it, for just to go a little more into bill picking itself. Right?
Yeah.
So if I look at a bill, I'm getting a 2D image. I'm using a depth camera, I'm getting some information of depth aspect. But from that image, I have to figure out where are the objects to and around inside the bin. Which is the best object to pick now? Right? There could be 10 items, I have to rank them in a way in which I can pick the one that is easiest to pick. And then even on that item, I have to figure out what's the best pick point. So if you look at an apple, right? There's a place where the stock is coming.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot base my suction there. It will never clip it.
Correct.
So I have to figure out which is the best stick point on that item.
Yeah, that's very important, right? And you should not damage the product.
Exactly. And on top of this is your application layer of intelligence. So somebody might say, like in grocery world, that I don't want to pick items which are already ordered.
Oh, okay.
Right? If you're doing fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
I cannot apply the same suction pressure on a tomato to explode.
Got it.
I have to print this level of intelligence so that it can handle all these items. Just like our human does.
Hey,
like you know how you pick a coconut versus how you pick an egg versus how you pick a tomato. How do you give that kind of intelligence to a machine?
So through vision system, you will add this intelligence.
Yes.
To the robot. So basically, they will also be able to see just like humans can see it and take that decision. Though thus, it's very intuitive.
See and handle.
So you would also be in the process designing grippers for different kinds of picking applications.
Yes, we would. Okay. Right now, we are using suction.
Okay.
It's working very well for the warehouse use case that we're going after, which is bill picking. But going forward, we do envision that we might need different kind of grippers for different cases, and we'll have to build them if it's hard tight.
Because each object orientation would require very different kind of everything.
Very well covered.
So what would solve the learnings that you had during this journey by building this solution? Or what were some of the eureka moments that you could share with our audience?
Yeah, so well, all this sounds very easy, right? The kind of items we encounter in our everyday life, the range is very, very high. We don't seem to realize it, but the way you pick a visiting card, or the way you pick a meter, or the way you pick like a very heavy Aga bag, they're all very different. So one of the things we have encountered is even if the number of SKUs in like a dark store is named 5,000, 6,000 SKUs, it's still very hard to come to a point where a robotic arm can handle up.
Yeah.
Like there's a quick iterative necessary important. Now, even after I have all the intelligence on how to handle it, the robotic arm that's required to handle it, we are 10 kilo payload, is very different from something that handles a 200 gram thing.
Very right.
So, but a human can do it very easy.
Yeah.
You know, right? So the safe picker can handle everything. So, our biggest learning has been to make robotic picking universal, to cover a whole range of SKUs. Or to a point where it really makes it ubiquitous everywhere. It's still hard, long journey.
Okay. And you build this intelligence on the robot, or you build it on cloud, and how are you going to handle that?
So the way we have built our stack, it's completely independent of the robot.
Okay. So it's hardware agnostic.
Yes. It's totally hardware agnostic. And we are using Intel RealSense, which is not even an expensive vision equipment, easily available. So the idea has always been that use existing hardware tech, which is already mature, and see how far you can get with that itself.
Okay. So since when you impart intelligence to robots through this vision system, do you think it will be easier for humans and vision-enabled robots to work side by side? Do you have such use cases?
Well, right now, we have not seen too many use cases where the human and the robot has to work side by side. But I do envision that with robots coming along and becoming more affordable.
So robots will be collaborative robots?
Yes, collaborative robots. We can have them work alongside Google. In cosmetics, for example.
Yeah.
You do backing.
Yeah.
So a person can make a box and the robot would drop by to it. And so it's kind of improving the throughput and reducing the workload on the person.
Yeah.
So these are use cases that can be tapped into as we proceed. Because making a box is maybe a little harder for a robot.
Yeah, because there is more dexterity.
Yes. So you tag to the human, but have the robot drop items into the box, which then gets packed and sent to a conveyor. So those use cases definitely will be explored.
Yeah, you did mention that a lot of products are already there from point A to point B, but picking is probably that frontier which will require more innovation.
Yes.
Because today that is the more manpower intensive process at warehouses.
Yeah.
So yeah, the kind of experience and expertise that you've gained in developing a visual solution, I would say,
correct,
for making robots intelligent. What are the kind of products that you would like to develop in future? Or what is the kind of roadmap that you feel you would like to follow for future?
So I think the key is how quickly a robot can learn.
Mm-hmm.
The holy grail here is I am doing an action.
Okay.
There's a camera here and it's already learning and telling a robot how to do the same thing.
Yeah.
If we can get there, then things will be super fast in how quickly we can deploy these solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do believe that the hardware costs will keep coming down.
Okay.
Over time, over more usage of robotic arms, the costs will kind of that will all come down.
Mm-hmm.
But having to train them for everything which takes months is a low. So how do you quickly enable them with this intelligence that a human in an action, can you just duplicate that action? That is where I believe our R&D will be.
Okay. That will be interesting.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of listeners who come from different engineering colleges.
Yeah.
And this is a field where a lot of students are looking to do some work and do some projects.
Yes.
So since you worked extensively on vision, if somebody wants to do a project or if somebody wants to learn how to go about this field, what would be some of the hacks that you'd like to share with them?
So most of the graduates that we talk to these days, they're already doing a lot of projects.
Yes.
Everybody is at least a part of the F1 racing team, which is there. And every college nowadays has a robotics club.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot find one without it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're already doing projects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already a great start.
Mm-hmm.
So be a part of as many of these clubs in your college or school.
Mm-hmm.
And get your hands dirty. So I think it requires the maker-breaker mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to make and break things early on. So that when you actually are in a position to start something, you're already equipped with some basic skill. How to put things together and how to build your first prototyping and so on. So as far as skin set goes, people have started programming in school.
Yeah, definitely. Very true.
So, but I think what we need to encourage more is the maker side. Once we have people trying to build things, right, and even if without the worry of what if it doesn't work, I guess we focus a long way. We'll see a lot more companies attempting these kind of problems.
Very true. So, for all the entrepreneurs out there, if you would like to share some learnings based on your journey, right, if somebody wants to start a robotic company, what would some of those learnings be?
Patience. plus patience. I think it's a much longer journey than a lot of other startup areas, I feel. Primarily because it's very cross-sectional. You have to bring mechanical engineering, you have to bring electrical engineering, you have to bring software. So you have to put all the pieces of the puzzle and that takes time. So that is point number one. On product, and this has always been my maybe quirk, if you could say it. If you can put your product in the back of your car and demonstrate it to a customer, it's a great thing. So I don't know if our product qualifies for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're building, let's say, a floor cleaning solution, maybe you can just put it in the back of your car and demonstrate. I guess demonstrability or ease of demonstrability plays a huge role cracking those early deals.
Yeah.
And getting a nod from your customer rather than having to bring him over to your place and demonstrate. Other thing was integration. So aren't dependent on some of the system being there.
Yeah.
You have to integrate very deeply with some software stack that you're using. This kind of adds friction to the whole thing. It's like, no, that's one thing I've done. And as far as skill set goes, you have to get the best of engineers and look for people who have built things.
So that was very interesting.
Yeah.
So to conclude it on a lighter note, as I've understood with your vision system,
yeah,
the robot gets sort of the eyes and then is able to see the surroundings, right?
Yeah.
So can we expect, with your intelligence, these robots can help pick partners for humans someday?
I think that's a job best left to humans at present. I don't want to run the risk.
But today that job is also be done by dating sites. So
yeah,
robots
but not without human validation. It still takes you to a date, but not beyond that.
Right.
I think we should leave it at that for now.
No. And probably solve problems in factories and warehouses.
Exactly. Where nobody's cursing for the rest of their lives.
Very true. Thank you, Aditya. Thank you for your time. It was really a fun interaction with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did.
Like and subscribe to continue on this robotic journey with us. Until next time, this is your host Satish Shukla, signing off.